Have any of you seen this picture before? Yes? This is our position. Helpless. Can't see, can't... Completely dependent. If the baby blue jay doesn't receive help from mama and papa blue jay, it's finished. So, can that recording go off? Can we take power this down and put the cover on? That would be good. But just put the cover on. This is the last formal presentation before our effort for chanting 32 rounds, 48 rounds, 64 rounds, hike, whatever you manage to chant tomorrow. There's a little history in mentioned in Lilamrita, where Srila Prabhupada was planning to have initiations, and he called Mukunda, then Dasa Adhikari, he called them to his room and asked him, who is Krishna? That was the exam before initiation. Who is Krishna? And the answer he gave was, Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the Master. We're meant to serve him. Prabhupada said, very good. You can be initiated tomorrow. And you will have to chant 64 rounds every day. And Mukund Maharaj was silent and shocked. Prabhupada read his facial expression and said, at least 32 rounds every day. And he was thinking, I work and 32 rounds every day, how will I do this? And then Prabhupada said, all right, but minimum 16 rounds every day. Something like that. So that was the standard, 16 rounds every day. But in the course of time, those 16 rounds every day, the thought was, Prabhupada had this wish, and the followers of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would chant 64 rounds a day. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's mention that Lord Chaitanya had a policy in Puri where he would accept invitations for lunch, but on rotation basis, but there were ever increasing number of persons that wanted him to have lunch. So he then told Sarup Damodar, only Lakeshwaras will I have lunch with them. And persons were thinking, what? You have to be rich in order to have lunch? Lord Chaitanya for your home for lunch? So the word went around. What's going on? So then he clarified, those that chant one lakh of rounds every day, only those persons will I have lunch at their home. Or one lakh of names, excuse me. One lakh of names, that's 64 rounds. Wouldn't even consider having lunch at their home unless they chanted 64 rounds. So what's our goal when we're chanting extra rounds? Or we're chanting our daily prescribed rounds, what's the goal? It's not just something quantitative. It's connecting with Krishna, reestablishing our relationship with Krishna. I'm going to read something where Srila Prabhupada is answering the question, what is quality chanting? This is in Durban, South Africa, a morning walk conversation. Devotee number 8 is what the transcription says. They couldn't identify the name of the person, so devotee 8. When chanting our 16 rounds, we are not sure if these rounds are sincere. Prabhupada, you should be sure. Devotee 8, how can we be sure? Prabhupada, there are beads. Brahmananda, no. He's saying that when we chant our rounds, how can we be sure that when we chant the round, that the round is perfect, attentive round, sincere? Prabhupada, therefore, it is in Shastra, you must. There is no question of understanding. Brahmananda, the quality of the chanting, he's asking. How can you make the quality the best? Prabhupada, quality. You'll understand, first of all, come to the quality. Without having quality, how they'll understand the quality? You follow the instruction of your spiritual master, of the Shastra. That is your duty. Quality, no quality. It is not your position to understand. When the quality comes, there is no force. You will have a taste for chanting. You will desire at that time, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? That is quality. That is quality. It is not by force. You'll not do it. Therefore, at least 16 rounds. But when you come to the quality, you will feel yourself, why 16? Why not 16,000? That is quality, automatically, just like Haridas Thakur. He was doing. He was not forced to do. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he requested. Now are you old enough? You can reduce. So he refused. No. Up to the end of my life, I shall go on. That is quality. Have you got such tendency that you'll go on chanting and nothing to do? That is quality. Now, you are forced to do. What is the question of quality? That is, given a chance so that one day you may come to the quality. Not that you have come to the quality. Quality is different. Ata shakti, ashakti, attachment. Just like Rupa Goswami says that, how shall I chant with one tongue and how shall I hear 2 ears? Had it been millions of tongues and trillions of ears, then I could enjoy it. That is quality. Quality is not so cheap. Maybe after many births, for time being, you will go on following the rules and regulations. It is being done by force. Where is the quality? So, you wanted to understand quality? That is quality. You'll not be forced, but automatically you'll desire. That is quality. I'm writing books. I'm not being forced by anyone. Everyone can do that. Why? One does not do it. I get up at night, 1 o'clock, and do this job because I cannot do without it. How one will do artificially. This is quality. Therefore, they like my purports. The quality is shown by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. Oh, I do not see Govinda. The whole world is vacant. Shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. This is quality. Just like we have got practical example. One man's beloved has died, and he is seeing the whole world vacant. Is it vacant? So that is quality of love. So there is no formula of quality. It is to be understood by himself, just like after eating something you feel refreshed and get strength. That is quality. You haven't got to take certificate. Will you give me certificate that I have eaten? You'll understand whether eaten or not. That is quality. When you feel so much ecstasy in chanting Hare Krishna, that is quality, not artificially. Chant, chant, otherwise get out. This is not quality. Not artificially. This is the expectation that someday you may come to quality. That requires time. That requires sincerity. But quality is there. Shravanadi shuddha chitte karye. It will be awakened, not by force. Just like love between two persons. It cannot be forced. You must love him. You must love her. Oh, that is no love. That is not love. But automatically you love one another. That is quality. And so on. He gives the example of his sister, or Vedic system where a young girl is married when she's too little to understand what marriage is. She lives at her home. He lives at his home. And on his birthday, she brings something. Some prasadam, something nice. On his birthday. And he's thinking, oh, this is very nice. She's bringing something nice. And then another year passes, and it's his birthday, and she brings something nice, and he thinks, oh, I should bring something nice to her too. And they grow up understanding she's my wife, he's my husband, without really understanding what that means. But in course of time, when they're of age, then they are married and live together. But that prior stage, they're married, and then living together married. Prabhupada gives this example of his sister. Gradually they get the connection. In this way, the love develops. Both of them have already developed that she is my wife, he is my husband, psychologically. So our stage is practice. It's not quality. It's not that same spontaneous kind of attraction. But it's a cultivation. It's a statement. Our practice is a statement to Krishna. I want to be restored in my relationship with you. That's what our chanting is. So, when we increase tomorrow our quantity of chanting, we want to also see us our attention go to the quality of the chanting. And the quality of the chanting is very much like that reference from Brihat Bhagavatamrita. I'm going to read that section carefully, where the Vishnu Dutas are explaining that making this determination or expectation, aspiration to be in a practical relationship. There's a, here's the reference from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami, chapter 20, Madhyalila. And the cause of the material circumstance of life is presented. Krishna Bodhi Sejiv Anadi Bahirmukha Atayva Maya Tare Deya Samsara Dukha. Forgetting Krishna, the living entity has been attracted by the external feature from time immemorial. Therefore, the illusory energy, Maya, gives him all kind of misery in his material existence. So, this is the reference, same as Jiva Goswami's Bahirmukha Jeev, or Anadi Bahirmukha. Jiva Anadi Bahirmukha. Turning our attention away. So, chanting with attention, turning our attention again to Krishna. And that's our practice. And the keys that we presented are showing, I was particularly appreciating, 2, 3, 4, 5. 4 of the 9 keys are about bringing the mind again and again, practicing, cultivating, focusing by sankalpa, that I want to be in this relationship with Krishna. Here's a possible phrased sankalpa to help bring this about. I want to be with Krishna on this day in the form of his holy name. Wherever the mind goes to its unsteady and flickering nature, with our sankalpa we should bring it back to this one point, that on this day I've set the number, whatever the number is that you wish to do tomorrow, 32 rounds or some other number. My real determination is not just to complete those rounds, but to be with Krishna. I think of chanting as very, very personal and intimate. It's time with Krishna only, and that there's nothing else. Service to Krishna will come later. There's this service to Krishna now, and it's just being with Krishna. And praying to Krishna to let my consciousness touch your holy name. Bring my consciousness to Krishna. Be it connected in that relationship. And whatever else happens in the course of the chanting, let that be the prominent feature. Something else happens, bring the mind back. Just like the Bhagavad Gita verse, yato yato nishchalati manaschanchalam astiram. Nice verse. Very practical. Chanchala astiram, flickering and unsteady, the nature of the mind. And that which is flickering and unsteady, how do you make it steady? By spiritual strength, by empowerment from Krishna. So, striving, we can just chant numerically and have nothing happen, or very seriously strive to become fixed, that which is astiram, become stiram. And there'll be a universal experience. I can't do it. And that's a nice place to be in. It's, it smashes the ego, because it's not how quality chanting happens. It's then in this place of humility, or space of humility, feeling the necessity for mercy. And when one is calling in that mood, like the baby birds calling for mercy, then we can receive the holy name and chant the holy name in that mood. It's wonderful. That's the place of shelter, the place of dependency. Part of the realization of improving the quality of chanting is the necessity for help. We don't just become casual and whatever happens, happens. We make our effort. Abhyasa is necessary. Practice and making effort is necessary. But that alone is not sufficient. It's a nice place to be in. Helpless. I'm making an effort and it's not happening and it won't happen. I require mercy. A very nice example, maybe something that will help you, is thinking of Gajendra, because he was also helpless. In one sense, what a big misfortune. A great king, powerful king, great devotee. And he left his kingdom just to perfect his spiritual life, and this great misfortune came. It's like a role reversal, where he was a kshatriya in meditation and a Brahmin came to his door instead of Maharaj Pariksit, who was a kshatriya who came through the Brahmin's door. And he was in trance. And the Brahmana became offended and cursed him. What kind of personality are you? Some king. You can't even receive a Brahmin properly. You're dull like an elephant. I curse you. Become an elephant. So he became an elephant. But not just an elephant, a king of elephants. But he was put in a situation where all of his great strength was insufficient because the alligator had him. In 100 years, they were fighting. And the elephant was becoming weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Helpless. Life and death, helpless. So his attention turned to the Supreme Lord because of his previous life's activity that wasn't perfected. It was very nice, but it wasn't perfected. So his thought, Supersoul, gave him that remembrance of these prayers. So in his elephant body, within his mind, he's offering these wonderful prayers. The description of this pastime is elaborately described in later cantos of the Bhagavatam, but here's one verse from the second canto, chapter 7, where chapters scheduled incarnations, and a form of the Lord Vishnu appeared to rescue Gajendra, and here's what Shukadeva Goswami says. The leader of the elephants, whose leg was attacked in a river by a crocodile of superior strength, was much aggrieved. Taking a lotus flower in his trunk, he addressed the Lord, saying, "O original enjoyer, Lord of the universe, O deliverer, as famous as a place of pilgrimage, all are purified by hearing your holy name, which is worthy to be chanted." So, I'm not necessarily advising that you chant as if your life depended on it, although it's true. Spiritual life is dependent upon it. But when you're very sincerely trying to approach full attention, like this example Prabhupada's giving of quality chanting, it's not happening. Try and try, it's not happening. Mercy may come and some just lift one up. A little sharing of a Japa retreat in Ojai. Were you at that Ojai Japa retreat, Badahari? Do you remember Rasa Gyas sharing at the end? I'm going to share it with the devotees here. I remember. The retreat was advertised. We'll go back. The person who was organizing the retreat was Purushasukta. And Purushasukta was inspired to do the service that he's been doing by his spiritual master, Bhakti Tirtha Swami's desire to see that those, particularly those who are doing leadership service, who always have headaches to deal with, problems to resolve. I have dreams where there's a problem that comes and I have to resolve it just because I do it all the time. Or sitting in a meeting and working something out in a meeting. Something that didn't even happen. It's just like, you know, automatic pilot. And dealing with, you know, problems and immature. So his wish was that devotees that do that service would have an opportunity to associate with one another on a spiritual platform. So with that reason, Purushasukta, with that inspiration to serve his, fulfill his spiritual master's desire, he organized a japa retreat for leaders, which a lot of people didn't want to go because I'm not a leader. Out of humility, they were thinking like that. So, but somehow he managed to convince Mother Jamuna, who says, I'm not a leader, to come to be present with the group. And one of the attendees was Mother Rasa Gya. Mother Rasa Gya lived in Austin, Texas, and her husband had already left the world from cancer, and she was living alone and, you know, not having a whole lot of abundant association in Austin, Texas. So she was thinking, she was really looking forward to coming to this retreat. She shared that at the end. I was like, for like 4 or 5 months, just like expectant, you know, great expectations. And when it came to the 64 round day, she said it wasn't just downhill, it was like a crash landing. What happened, she shared, was every bad thing that I've done to hurt other people came to my mind instead of chanting. And it didn't end, it just kept going, you know, for the first 16 rounds and 32 rounds and 48 rounds. And she said, I had to leave and just go and cry because it was just, I was suffering so much, realizing how much pain and difficulty I'd given other people, and it didn't stop, it was relentless. And she had this, you know, great expectation, and she was getting smashed. And then she said, Krishna, you can do with me what you want. Hey Krishna, hey Govinda. She said in her heart, she just threw up her hands and said, you're my master, you can do with me what you like. And as soon as that consciousness entered, she felt, and she knew exactly what was going on. It wasn't anything to do with her, it was everything to do with Krishna and her relationship with Krishna. When she was in the doer and lamenting and hankering, that wasn't relationship with Krishna. But when it was just completely dependent upon Krishna, Krishna's reciprocation was there. Like the same example of Draupadi, mentioned this yesterday, or somewhere along the line, Krishna being asked by Draupadi, why did you come? You were my protector. You were looking to Bhishma Dev, or you looking to Dhritarashtra or Dronacharya. But when it was very clear what you wanted was me, just like Gajendra. He's powerful. And we may think ourselves also, I can do it, kind of mentality. But that's not relationship with Krishna. It's not relationship. It's not with Krishna either. We're performing an activity like Prabhupada was describing in this morning walk because we're told to do so. It's good for us. Motive goodness. It'll purify us, so we do it. But relationship? When so much of relationship is on our terms, and relationship with Krishna is on His terms. And it's nice. Like someone was asking, well, Krishna is fully independent, but if we call Krishna, then He comes. But He comes because that's one of His independent qualities. Not because He has to come, because He has to come. Because we called Him. He comes because it's His quality. And that's part of the relationship. Restoring our relationship with Krishna is recognizing that quality in Him. So we'll have something like 50,000 chances tomorrow, opportunities, if we chant 32 rounds, to connect even just once. Prabhupada told one of His disciples, every day when you chant 16 rounds, you have 25,000 chances to chant Krishna's name once. And if you can chant Krishna's name once purely, it's sufficient to go back to Godhead. Just once. And if it doesn't happen that once, then chant the next one nicely. And then the next one. And then the next day. And just, can we continue to practice being in our relationship with Krishna? So, I know that's going to be my meditation tomorrow. Just let me be in my relationship with Krishna through this medium of chanting Krishna's name. That will end with that and see if there's some discussion, because there's some extra questions from earlier today that people couldn't ask. And if not, we'll just have kirtan. Chant japa or something. Any discussion? Jai Jagannath, you want to say something? My reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita is not as you repeated it. It's not chanting the pure holy name once, but chanting the holy name once, like a Jamila. Or some of the people that we saw at on Harinam Friday night. A very liberal, broad description of a devotee is one who chants Krishna's name even once. Not pure holy name, but even just chanting Krishna's name. Like the Chaitanya Bhagavat description of Gadadhar Das that went into the Kazi's home and at midnight and was calling out very loudly, chant the holy name of Krishna! Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father, Krishna is your dearmost friend, chant Krishna's name! He woke up the Kazi, and Kazi was a nasty guy, but he saw the ecstasy of this Gadadhar Das and said, you know, what are you doing here in the middle of the night? I'm pleading with you. Please take the holy name of Krishna. So he said, I'll come back tomorrow and chant Krishna's name tomorrow. Oh, you've chanted Krishna's name. And now all your sinful reactions are... And he just, you know, danced out of the palace of the Qazi. Just chanting Krishna's name once. Like that. The very broad net. And then Madhyama and Uttama. So Shuddhanam makes one pure. So if one's going to chant one pure holy name, it would logically follow that other holy names would also be pure. But each one is an opportunity. There's no disqualification that so many names I've chanted and they've not been pure. So I think of that like the second canto of Bhagavatam, that are a moment of pure consciousness than many hundreds of years of life in ignorance. A long duration of life is useless if it's in ignorance, and one moment of pure consciousness like that. Right? Yes?
Krishna Maharaj, you mentioned that we have to have complete dependence on Krishna. So Maharaj, can you please elaborate a little more in the sense what it really means and how do we do it in a right way?
How do we
do it in the correct way? When we say that we have to have complete dependence on Krishna, how we really practice it in the correct way?
Well, I can think of three very quick things. One is shelter, like here comes a danger. You're walking along the path of life and yikes. So something. Now, where's your shelter? Where do your thoughts go? Or energetically, where do you go? No, is it like you're going to defend yourself or you call out to someone or something? Where's your shelter? Protection. Not just in danger, but even in progressing in life, saying, you know, you're making a decision about something. Buying a house or a job offer or something or something or something. And what's that place of shelter that resonates most strongly to help guide you and move you the next step? We draw upon things that Krishna gives us, but is our ultimate dependence upon Krishna or no? And if the answer is a mix, then that's what we're going to get. And if it's exclusive shelter in Krishna, I still draw upon things that Krishna sends, resources and facilities and things. But I'm dependent upon Krishna. The final check is when I'm making some decision, Krishna, you should be pleased. If you're not, give some indication if this is not pleasing to you. I'm ready to move forward. It's 'cause that's dependency. Whether it's difficult, you know, this or that, sukha or dukkha. Another is the six symptoms of surrender, described in Nectar Devotion from Padma Purana, and it just further breaks down what that dependency is. So accepting things favorable, rejecting things unfavorable, having the sense that Krishna is my protector, having the sense that Krishna is my maintainer, humility, and dedication of body, mind, and words exclusively in Krishna's service. Those are breakdowns of surrender, which is a dependency. Why surrender if I'm independent? And if I'm dependent, then these are symptoms of that. So how to cultivate it is, look at those six. And another thought is, there are four animal propensities, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and the chief amongst them is defending, or protection. So, what do we see as our protection? It's one of the items of surrender also, but what do we see as our protection? So, what it means to be exclusively dependent upon Krishna is we see Krishna as our protector. It doesn't mean we don't do anything. We're pacifists. We do things. But it's Krishna is my protector. When I'm doing things, whatever it is that I'm doing, Krishna is my protector. And by going to that side, then that those are animal propensities, and this brings spiritual life. And so my life is spiritually dependent and even materially dependent. Exclusively dependent. And cultivate that. And Krishna will give each of us opportunities to learn when we try to provide protection in some other way, not mindful of Krishna. It never works. And even if it seems to work, it doesn't endure and it doesn't feel right. There's a nice story of the father . Not sure I have the personalities right, but I think it's the father of Prataparudra Maharaj wanted for his son to marry a princess from a southern province in India. The king had a very qualified princess daughter. So there was some talk of betrothal. And that king came to visit Prataparudra Maharaj's father, and he came at the time of Puri, and he saw Prataparudra Maharaj sweeping the street before Lord Jagannath, and he went back and called the marriage off. He said, no daughter of mine is going to marry a street sweeper. So Prataparudra Maharaj's father was indignant. He's a servant of Lord Jagannath. To defend Jagannath's honor, he declared war. And he went with all of his armies. And he was soundly defeated. And he came back. And he prayed before Lord Jagannath. What happened? I went just for your honor. I didn't go for any other reason. He was praying and praying, and he asked one Brahmin, why did this happen? The Brahmin said, before you went to go to battle, did you go offer your prayers to Lord Jagannath for his blessings? He said, oh, I forgot. I was in such a mood of protecting his honor that I didn't remember to take his blessings. Well, I suggest you do that. Then you can go again. And surely he'll make your victory successful, your attempt successful. So some other detail is either he had a dream or something. Lord Jagannath said, I'll accompany you. So he went. And as he was traveling, they stopped at one place to get some supplies. And the person, one of the shopkeepers, said, oh, there was an advance party. Here's your water, here's your pots for cooking. And so what advance party? What are you talking about? Well, a man, one of your soldiers, one who was very dark in complexion, one who was very fair in complexion, riding horses. And they made advance payment. Here's the payment they gave. He looked at it, he said, that's one of the jewels of Lord Jagannath. I recognize it because I personally gave it. Now I understand. He's accompanying us. We'll surely be victorious. He came back, he was victorious. And the princess married. And they made amends. It was very nice. Exclusive dependence. Not just, you know, trying to do the right thing, but feeling dependent upon the mercy of the Lord. So same when chanting. We're chanting, we're doing the right thing. And let our consciousness be in that prayerful mood. And there's wonderful prayers. I shared this, but so many prayers. I thought one of the things we could do is give some sheets of prayers, but that Japa book of Bhurijan has this nice little flip chart with some wonderful prayers that I like very much. Okay. What should our mood be when asked to chant specifically for the benefit of a devotee? Oftentimes, there are kirtans specially dedicated to senior devotees who are going through some difficulty, illness, etc. We are asked to pray for Krishna's protection and shelter to fall upon them. But I always feel I am unqualified to pray for that, especially because they are already so advanced. What coming to mind is the Ramayan description of the building of the bridge to Lanka, and depending upon which version of the Ramayan, it's either a spider or a squirrel sending little pebbles into the ocean, just part of the bridge, and Hanuman saying, get out of the way. And Ram saying, why are you saying get out of the way? What he's doing is as good as what you're doing, to his capacity he's doing. So whatever we may not have as qualification, if we do our might or our part, and collectively many persons are offering their prayers to the Supreme Lord, it's powerful, although we're not powerful. And the person may be greatly advanced, but they're in a disadvantaged situation, so we're offering our little, whatever it is. And collectively, that's very substantial. Krishna notices. Krishna responds. So, that's how we should think. Okay, it's 4 o'clock, and our schedule is what? 4 o'clock we do something. What happens? Kirtan. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kishore kishore ki jai.